Some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist. But who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's bow. Father, we thank you again for being able to come out into your house and with those of like precious faith. I thank you, Lord, for the hope that we can have in Jesus and that he is the anointed one, the coming Messiah, the King of Kings. He'll be King someday, Lord, forever and ever. Help us, Lord, to be about your business and about doing your work. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, Dan was speaking to us about truth matters. When I say truth, I mean, there's so many ways we can look at the word truth. We could go into our Bibles and study it and study all these different aspects of different beliefs and know our truth that way. But the biggest truth that we could possibly know is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. No other truth is as important as that truth. Yes, there's a lot of other things we need to know that go along with it. But that's the underlying foundation for what everything else we do. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 6. Let me back up a little bit. He said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. Then he said these words, you know the way to where I'm going. And the Bible says that Thomas said to him, Jesus, we don't even know where you're going. So how could we possibly know the way? He didn't say possibly, I did. How can we possibly know the way? And Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All that goes hand in hand with Peter's confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Dan spoke to us about truth. And Jesus went on to say to Peter, Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Last week, Brian spoke to us about for such a time as this. I messed up all my slides, so sorry about that. He was speaking to us last week about Esther and about how she was put into a position for such a time as this. And the most profound thing that I believe happened in that story was found in Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Esther bade them. Mordecai had told her, and Brian told you this last week, don't think that you're going to escape this trouble we could possibly be in just because you're in the king's palace. Maybe you've been put there for a reason. And so she says to him, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. I love that story, and I'm glad that Brian used it. And we take those stories and put them together, those different messages. Truth matters. And what Esther did in the lifestyle that she had in loving the Lord and seeing the situation that she was in and how it was important for her to be doing something for God. But before she did it, she prayed. She fasted and told Mordecai I had to pray and fast. So I want to put those thoughts together. We can use these stories as a way to be encouraged and a way to be inspired. We may never be a Bible story ourselves. Maybe we're not going to, somebody's going to write a story or a book about us and say, I remember so-and-so. And that shouldn't be our desire to do good things because somebody might write about us and we'll get notoriety. There may never be a story written about Dan, a carpenter who built a tower so tall it went up to the heavens. Or a story about a man named Floyd who claimed that his donkey talked to him. Although somebody might write a story of Floyd has a few too many, and his donkey does talk to him, according to Floyd. Or there might not be a story written about somebody named Carter who slew a giant. Or a story about two ladies named Sherry and Jennifer who went to the tomb and found it empty. Those stories can inspire us, but we don't have to be written about. And that shouldn't be our desire, to have somebody remember us for such and such a thing, because that's the wrong motive for doing anything. But it's that empty tomb that not Sherry and Jennifer who found it, but the ladies came and found the tomb empty. It's because of that empty tomb that we're here today. It's because of that empty tomb we're talking about these stories. Again, what I just want to highlight what Peter said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. But then he went on to say, but you are Peter. You are Petros. His name means stone. And upon this rock, upon this message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it. In other words, they will never bury the last Christian. There will never be the last Christian ever put into the grave. Finally, we have annihilated this faith. They're never going to bury the last Christian. The gates of hell will not prevail against this message. So Peter, we're going to combine these thoughts now of truth matters and the story of Esther and how we can integrate that into what Peter told us in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 8. We're going to start with verses 1 through 4. Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. Let me back up just a minute. The chapter right before this, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is talking about Jesus being the cornerstone of our faith. He's talking about how he willingly went to the cross. And because of his death and resurrection, he's living again. He is that cornerstone. Because of everything he just said in the previous chapter, and I ask you to go home and read it. He says, because of everything I just said in chapter 1, even though there was no chapters back then, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is good, to whom coming as unto a living stone, Jesus is that living stone. He goes on to say, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He goes on to say these words, ye also are living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I want to watch a clip together about Narnia. Anybody ever seen the movie about Narnia and Aslan the lion? Is there sound with this? Okay. There's a great battle that was coming. And the girls had found Mr. Thomas turned to stone and others. And Aslan, who is in this movie for the sake of the movie, a picture of Christ, breathes on Thomas and he comes back from being a stone to being living again. And then this battle is going to take place. Well, we do have a scripture that tells us that Jesus is coming again. He's going to raise us from the dead, bring us back to life, but it's not that time period that I want us to focus on today. Jesus is asking us, and he's telling us through Peter, that we're supposed to be living stones. This scripture, this clip behind me, kind of depicted a future time. But I want to look at this video clip like this. Before we knew Christ, we were dead as stones in our sin. But now in Christ Jesus, we have been made alive spiritually. And we are like living stones who follow him and make up his temple. So this is God's first and most important purpose for each of us as his people. He wants us to make us alive in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 5, back there, he says, ye also as living stones, he says, are built up a spiritual house because we're living stones, because we put Jesus first in our lives. You're a spiritual house. You're part of a spiritual house. You're part of a holy priesthood. And you're acceptable to God because you belong to Jesus. Not because of anything you do, but because you belong to Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 6 and 7, Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. See, we talked earlier about using stories to be inspired. Well, Peter himself is getting that scripture that he just quoted from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, where Isaiah says the same thing about laying in Zion a cornerstone, a precious cornerstone. We even sing a song about it sometimes. Peter used Isaiah as inspiration. We can use the story of Esther as inspiration. We can use the story of Peter saying to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, as inspiration. We may not have a story told about us ourselves. And nor should that be our desire. I remember seeing Sarah said on either her own personal page or the Flag Center page, she was talking about that song, I'm Just a Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. And part of the song, I think this is the part you talked about, the reason for it is that people will see Jesus living. Not because people will see you living for Jesus, because people will see Jesus in you, not you yourself. And I appreciated seeing that. I can't remember if that was your personal page or the Facebook or Flag Center's page. And there's another part of the song where the songwriter got it wrong. He says he chose 12 nobodies and he changed the world with them. He didn't choose just 12 nobodies. He chose millions of nobodies. And we're a part of those millions to change the world. And that's why we're talking about this today. He goes on to say in verse 7, unto you, therefore, because you're a living stone, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Not everybody sees Jesus as important. We do. But there are people out there, right after Jesus came and died and rose again, there's still people saying, no, he wasn't the Messiah. And he became a rock of offense to people. Verse 8 goes on to say, a stone of stumbling. To some people, Jesus is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. So today, because we're living stones, because the tomb is empty, because Jesus is the cornerstone, our life should be different. See, there's two kinds of people mentioned in that verse. People that see Jesus as somebody that's important, or he's a rock of offense. And the question is, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, the question is, what are you doing with him today? How is your life being lived today? See, he's the stone, he's rejected by some because some people's lifestyle are not in tune with what God would have us to be doing. So we might see Jesus as a kind of getting in our way of doing things we like or things we enjoy, because our life isn't where it needs to be. And I stand up here and say that knowing full well the road that I've been on, knowing full well that there was times in my life that I was not living for Jesus. I was not acting like Jesus was in my heart. And I think we all struggle at some point in time in our life, no matter what stage of life we're in, but sometimes we can just willfully be off the path and not even care or not even think much about it. And that's where I feel I was at one point in time. Not on the path. And it was too fun to go out drinking with the guys from work, too fun to go out and get drunk, too fun to go out and do a lot of different things. But at some point in time, you have to ask yourself, Am I living the way Jesus would have me live? Am I doing the things Jesus would have me do? Am I being a living stone? It wasn't just Peter that kind of gives us this idea about being different. We know what kind of life Paul lived because the Bible tells us before he became Paul and was Saul what he used to do. He used to kill Christians. He used to do things because he saw Jesus as a rock of offense, not something that he needed in his life until he met him on the Damascus Road and changed his life and he got on the right path. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul gives this idea. It won't be on the screen. Present your bodies, he says, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual form of worship. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The same kind of thinking. Be a living sacrifice. Peter says, be a living stone. And that same thought, Paul continues on with in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. I think I have it up here. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the, and he says the same thing Peter said, cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I love how that, I was in the Washington Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and every one of those stones had to be chiseled in a way so when this stone got put against this stone, those two stones together is what holds it together. There's not a bunch of mortar in that building holding that together. It's because the stones were fit together, and this stone had to be cut to fit to this stone. And if something was shaved too much off, then this stone would come too far over, and maybe the whole building could collapse as a result. If you haven't been to the cathedral, pull it up online and look at it. Or if you get a chance to go to Washington, D.C., go there and learn a little bit more about it. But that, I think about that building and how miraculous it's been there for years and years and years. But he's telling us in this thing, that in this scripture, to a holy temple, in which you are builded up for a habitation of God through Christ Jesus the Lord. But what he says right before that is, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. You and I each have a part in that temple that's being built out of us, living stones. And one of us doesn't fit just right. We're going to have to be replaced by somebody that is fit just right. Or get ourselves into the shape we're supposed to be. So we fit together as we work together in the church to bring people to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because that's the most important thing that we can ever do. I want you to see this morning that we are part of God's temple. We are part of the final solution. We will rule and reign with him. But what are we doing in the meantime? Being a living stone? Are we living stones? Are we a living sacrifice? Do we accept Jesus as that cornerstone, or is he a rock of offense? Jesus willingly went to the cross. And none of us deserved it. It was a gift. That's why there's so many other verses that we could go to. We're not going to continue to go to all these. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And I don't know if I have it up here, so nope. Back up one, or else that song is going to start. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve Jesus on a cross. We deserve death for the sin in our life. But God wanted to provide a way for us to be saved. Paul also writes in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of any works, lest any man should boast. It's not the works that save us. It's because we know Jesus and we're living stones that saves us. The works just are a fruit of knowing Jesus, not something you do that earns you salvation. One of the last verses that won't be on the screen is verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That kind of makes me think about the church that Brian mentioned this morning in Bible study. We have, or when we were talking before Sunday school, I believe, we have a church in Peculiar, Missouri. Church of God. I'm sure those are a lot of peculiar people, since that's the town they live in. The Bible calls us a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises. You can't show forth praises unless you're a living stone. Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's how Peter ends that little section of scripture. We've been called out of darkness to be living stones into his marvelous light. Why? Because the Lord is good. Because what he did on the cross, what God put in motion through his Son, was good. And I know the song we're going to sing to close this morning is very repetitive, but we can't tell the Lord how good he is enough, just like we can't tell Jesus how much we love him enough. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I know this isn't the kind of song we'd usually sing when you ask somebody to come forward, but I don't think there's any right song to sing. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, or you want to at least talk to somebody about it, go to Dan, go to me, go to Brian, go to anybody you feel comfortable with and talk to them about a decision to come to know Jesus. Let's please stand, and we're going to sing the song together, The Lord is Good. There's a little bit of instrumental between a couple places, but the song's pretty easy to follow.